From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
Welcome to Inside the Parker. Rob Parker here, you there. What a great show we have today. National starter Max Scherzer joins us on the program. Also, former pitcher David Cohn and current Yankee analyst for the Yes Network. He'll stop by as well. So much more to get into. But first, let's kick it off with Getting Robbed.
Batter up!
To lead off, it's Getting Robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
I want to change that song because the Mets are a mess. You ready? Here's a new Mets theme song. Beat the Mets. Step right up and beat the Mets. Yes, the New York Metropolitans are awful. They just got swept by the Miami Marlins, the worst team in baseball. Are you kidding me? Manager Mickey Callaway. Are you kidding me? It's almost time for Mickey to go bye-bye. And then news comes down that while he's rehabbing, Yonis Cespedes breaks his ankle. What? This is not what was supposed to happen. The Mets made all kinds of moves in the offseason, even getting Robinson Cano from Seattle. They were going to change this narrative and be a good team again. And so far, 2019 has been a disaster. So beat the Mets. Step right up and beat the Mets.
Number two.
We knew Vlad Guerrero Jr. was a stud. We finally got to see what this guy is all about and what all the talk has been about. Because Vlad Jr. finally started crushing home runs. In his big week, he earned the first Player of the Week award. And he's also become the Blue Jays' youngest Player of the Week award winner, breaking the record held by Junior Felix. He has been incredible. He was definitely the most heralded prospect. Guerrero went homeless in his first 13 big league games, but that's all changed. The 20-year-old son of Hall of Famer Vladimir Guerrero crushed four home runs for the Blue Jays, his first two of his career on Tuesday, another Friday, a fourth on Sunday. So he is off and rolling. As of Tuesday, Vlad Guerrero Jr. was hitting .333 with a 1.321 OPS for the week. His four home runs tied the most home runs in AL of that week, and his nine RBIs were tied for second. So the stud has arrived, and Blue Jays fans have a reason to celebrate Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Number three.
Nobody wants to hear players talk about how bad the weather is. Live with it. Deal with it. It's not going anywhere, but let's just be honest. The baseball season doesn't feel like it's kicked in yet. The weather is crazy. As of Tuesday, there was snow covering the field in Colorado at Denver's Coors Field. The Royals and Cardinals were rained out. Games have been rained out and cold. I mean, what's going on? Do we need to wait to start the season after Memorial Day in the future because of this weather pattern? We had bad weather last year to start the baseball season. I'm hoping that by next week, by June 1st, can we have some warmth so we can go in our shorts and T-shirts and watch Major League Baseball and enjoy the best quality time you can have with friends and family? That's what I'm looking for. Warm up, Baseball America!
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
Let's welcome in Max Scherzer to the podcast. How you doing, Max?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, always. You know that. So tell us about the milestone you had recently where you became the 35th pitcher to strike out 2,500 batters or more. What'd that mean to you?
That was a cool milestone. Just to be, you know, there's only so many guys who have ever gotten there. And for me, it's a test of durability and being able to pitch this many years in the big leagues and be healthy. And there's just a lot of people along the way that you got to thank and you know, that you think of that allow you to be durable and, you know, just the hard work you put in with your catchers being on the same plan. So there's a lot of people that had a fingerprint into, you know, some of those numbers. But that's why it's so cool when you do reach it.
What was your turning point in your career? I remember you obviously in Detroit when you were traded from Arizona. Then they sent you down to the minors for a little bit. You came back, and then after that, you didn't look back. Was that trip a good trip? Do you? I probably didn't like it at the time, but was it?
Yeah, I definitely. You know, obviously, you get to the minors, you get woken up. It was really 2012 when I developed the curveball. You know, from my arm slot to low arm slot. I never thought I was going to be able to ever throw a curveball from that low spot. And the fact that I was able to learn it, you know, kind of like broke through a mental barrier, you know, of, no, I can do this. I can pitch with a curveball. You know, you start thinking of things that you can do instead of things that you can't do. And for me, that really hit home and really found a way to continue to add to my game and just keep adding pitches and executions. And, you know, you get better every single year if you want to.
How about baseball? Do you like where baseball is now? Home runs, strikeouts, a lot of those, and also all the shifts. That's a pitcher's friend, you know, where a lot of hits are taken away and it's not as many guys on the base pass. Do you like where baseball is?
That's an interesting question. You know, I'll start with the easy answer and with the shifts. The shifts are here. Look, we know exactly where you're going to hit the ball. Just like the way you know how many times I throw the ball. It's just a part of the game of. That's part of the analytics, and we'll see how the next generation of hitters evolve with the shift and see if they try to make an adjustment to it or just keep going after it. As for, like, the strikeouts, home runs, and walks, I think that's more of a fan preference of, is that the most entertaining game that we can provide? And the fans' interest in the sport of what they find entertaining will drive where I think ultimately the game needs to go. So, you know, as the players, we just play the game where the fans, they kind of drive how we should be playing the game.
How about your team, the Nationals? You guys off to a rough start. Last year, the playoffs ended not the way you wanted, but can this team, do you guys have enough? Can you turn this thing around in D.C.?
We still have plenty of time. You know, we can play great baseball. We can compete with any team in this league. We just got to play like it. There's a lot of things we do to shoot ourselves in the foot. And if we shore up some of those mistakes and start playing good, clean baseball, we're going to win ball games. That's just as simple as that. But there's too much talent in this clubhouse to not win ball games. And so for us, that's the way we see it.
How about you? You're a college basketball NBA aficionado. Most people don't know and don't know that because we always talk basketball. Just want to ask you a couple of questions about some NBA players. Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. Is he the best 6 foot? An under guard or 6 foot guard ever? I mean, you'd start to hear that he had that great performance to knock out the Rockets, but I always say that Isaiah Thomas is probably that guy. What do you think?
Ooh, see, I never got to see Isaiah actually play. I've only seen the footage. I just think we're seeing what Steph's able to do on the court, just the efficiency that he can score at. You know, that's where the NBA, you know, and their analytics of how you should be playing a game. I mean, they're arming the best shooter in the world with the data that where he needs to be shooting the ball from. So, for me, watching him play the game, he has his own style, and it's really fun to watch.
NBA in general, is it fun when the same team goes to the championship or has a chance to 5 years in a row, which hasn't happened since the 60s and the Celtics, when there are only 8 or 10 teams? Is that good for a league?
I don't, you know, that's where, is it so much that Golden State's, you know, such a dominant team, or is it really the system, the rules within the system? That's kind of what you have to ask yourself, and then, like, is a salary cap at play, or other, you know, structural things, you know, with their CBA, at play for kind of the run that a team can get on? So, fortunately, I'm not part of that union where you have to worry about that. I think that's stuff that the fans have to worry about and, you know, what the fans want to see how the game be played.
Who's the best player in the NBA now? Is it still LeBron? Some people say it's not. Obviously, he didn't make the playoffs this year. Kind of had a – he had the numbers, but he didn't have the impact that he has had in years gone by.
Man, it's really tough. he's in the conversation. He's still in the conversation.
How about KD, though? KD?
Right. What KD, what Durant can do on the floor. Giannis, what he did this year. I mean, how can you look past what Curry can do? I mean, how well he can score and just the all-around game that Kawhi Leonard has. I mean, those are some – and we didn't even mention Russell Westbrook. I love Russell Westbrook. The way he plays the game, he's one of my favorites.
He's criticized a lot. Do you know why people criticize him? Is it more like his persona more than his game? Because he averaged a triple-double 3 years in a row. How could you be bad?
Right. To me, I kind of ignored his flaws and just watch how the passion he plays with the game with. I mean, the intensity that he plays with the game – plays the game at every single night. That's something I definitely appreciate.
Last question. Did Kyler Murray make a mistake picking the NFL over Major League Baseball? Only from the it's like one of those real things. Obviously, baseball is harder because it's hard to hit. You know, you fail 7 out of 10 times in your Hall of Famer, you know, so it's a tough sport. But he's a little guy playing football. You know, it's also tough to make that transition.
I'm sure that was a tough choice for him. But playing quarterback in the NFL, I mean, that's a extremely tough position to play. And, you know, it's just going to be fascinating to watch. I think, you know, the baseball aspect that he brings is going to, you know, with his arm strength and the way he can throw the ball. I mean, he does. He looks like a baseball player out there throwing the football around. So, I think that's the other trait I kind of see in Mahomes as well. It looks like he's a baseball player, you know, throwing the football. So, you know, the sky's the limit for him. We'll see how he plays. And, you know, I think every baseball player is going to be kind of pulling for him.
Max, thanks for joining the podcast. I appreciate you, bud.
All right, thank you.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
FS1's Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What you got for me, Anthony?
All right, Rob, if you've watched any broadcast on any network in the last few years, you've probably heard the term launch angle ad nauseum. It's not just a stat. It's a lifestyle for some players in their quest to hit more home runs. But what can it tell you about a player? Guys like Bryce Harper and Josh Donaldson have touted it publicly, but simply put, launch angle is the vertical angle a ball leaves a player's bat after being struck. Less than 10 degrees is a grounder. 10 to 25 is a line drive. 25 to 50 is a fly ball. Anything over that is a pop-up. You can look at a hitter's average launch angle and tell what kind of hitter they are, or look at the launch angle against of a pitcher and see if their tendencies should lean toward fly ball or ground ball. Now, most home runs you see hit will end up between 25 and 35 degrees of launch angle, usually off the bat at 95 miles per hour or harder. Last year, Rangers all-or-nothing slugger Joey Gallo led the AL with an average launch angle of 20 degrees, while Eric Hosmer had a second-highest ground ball rate at 61% with a league-low launch angle of minus 2.7 degrees, not necessarily what you want for a power hitter. Now, a high launch angle does not mean you'll be a superstar, but it does mean you won't kill as many worms on the infield.
All right, Anthony, I'll take into consideration that, but I'm not sure I'm using that.
That ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
A couple days ago, Cubs manager Joe Maddon noticed that Nationals closer Sean Doolittle tapped his right foot on the ground before delivering pitches. It bothered Maddon so much he came out to talk to the umpires and then protested the game. JR, is that foul or fair?
That is fair, Rob. So fair. Joe Maddon had a pitcher, Carl Edwards Jr., who was forced to revamp his delivery after working on it all spring. In the game, the umpire said it was illegal because he had an exaggerated pause and toe tap. He didn't even find out about it, that it was illegal, until the end of the spring training after working on it all spring. And I think that is what led to his early struggles and a trip to the minors. So Madden's pissed. Madden's a mental strategist and the ultimate gamer. So when he noticed Doolittle doing something similar, he called it out. If you're going to mess with my guy, I'm going to mess with other pitchers' funky deliveries. It's only right. It's called strategy, Rob. The same strategy he used to win the first Cubs World Series in 108 years. No need to be butthurt about it. It's gamemanship. There.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Here comes Parker's top three MLB teams this week.
Number three.
The Los Angeles Dodgers, they just keep rolling along. They're getting pitching. They're hitting like crazy. Are you kidding? Cody Bellinger, what a show he's put on. Still a hot ticket as of Tuesday. He had 17 home runs with a 405 batting average. The Dodgers seem like they are unstoppable and will win their seventh NL West crown.
Number two.
The Houston Astros. As of Tuesday, 31-16. Last year, they won 103 games. They were tremendous, and they are just picked up where they left off. And you know what? It's hard to decide who's going to be the MVP of that team because so many players are great for them. George Springer, Alex Bregman, Michael Brantley, Garrett Cole, I mean, Carlos Correa. This version of the Astros looked even better than when they won the World Series in 2017. So this is scary.
Number one.
The New York freaking Yankees. I've been saying it all season and nobody wants to believe me. They took two out of three from the Rays, moved into first place, and then on Monday night in Baltimore, they scored four runs in the ninth inning to win that game. Yes, the Yankees are still banged up. Most of their star players are still on the injured list. They're doing it with kids, smoke and mirrors. Wait till they get their better players back. The Yankees are the best team in baseball. I don't care if the Dodgers and Astros have more wins than them. What the Yankees have accomplished so far is unbelievable.
Take out the papers in the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's winner is at VClose13, and he tweeted this. The Nationals are killing me. The bullpen has been a laughingstock of the league and can't hold the lead to save their lives. Joe Ross has an 81 ERA at one point. Ridiculous. If you want a chance to win a new era snapback cap like Vince, hit us up on at RobParkerFS1 on Twitter. And trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
Let's welcome in David Cone to the podcast. Of course, a five-time World Series winner. And he pitched a perfect game in 1999. Currently, he's a Yankee color analyst for the YES Network. Dave, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
My pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me on.
Explain the Yankees' success and what's going on. The team with all the stars, MASH unit, and all they're doing with the replacements are winning.
It is remarkable. I mean, I'm floored by it. I think anybody who covers the Yankees has really just seen things that they did not expect to happen. And certainly, there's some great stories all around the diamond. I mean, Gio Urshela at third base has gone from Gio who to Gio cult hero almost overnight. And this Yankee fan base has just been lit up by some of these young players. Domingo Herman on the mound might make the All-Star team this year and has not missed a beat in sort of replacing Luis Severino, who I thought was one of the top five best pitchers in the game. So the Yankees have found an answer almost for every injury they've had.
How good can this team be? I think they're the best team in baseball. People push back on me, and I mean it from the standpoint that they're loaded with all these guys who are hurt, and then they have all these young players as well. How good can this Yankee team be when it's healthy?
Well, certainly, yeah, with proper respect to Houston, the Astros are a great team right now and look like a juggernaut. But I agree with you, Rob. I think the Yankees are very dangerous because of all these young players getting this experience and not only getting good experience, but having tremendous success. And when you get Aaron Judge back and Giancarlo Stanton back, and then when you get Luis Severino back in the rotation in the second half of the year, boy, they are really poised to make some noise and then be a dangerous team in the playoffs this year, in my opinion.
Who should get the most credit for this? Is this about Brian Cashman or Aaron Boone, the manager? Because Cashman, obviously, as a GM, has done a great job putting together talent.
Yeah, I think you really have to give Brian Cashman a lot of credit for really emphasizing the overall depth of the roster, and that was the point in not signing Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. He concentrated on players like DJ LeMahieu, who's been great for the Yankees and being able to play all over the field, and their defense is much improved. Gio Urshela was kind of a forgotten player, and Brian Cashman saw some talent there. And Luke Voit was kind of a forgotten player in the Cardinals system, and the Yankees analytics department, led by Brian Cashman, kind of saw something they liked. So I really think you got to give a lot of credit to Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone as well. He's never panicked. You've lost all-star players up and down the roster. There's been half of their roster has been injured or on the injured reserve list, and he never panicked the whole way through. He stayed level, and he's got that clubhouse. The players have bought into Aaron Boone, and they really seem to like him.
Coney, tell me about your transition from a player to a TV career. You do a good job doing color. Do you enjoy it? What's the toughest part about doing that job?
Rob, it really has been enjoyable, and I think every year that I do this, over 10 years now, that I get a little better sense of the business of putting on a game on TV and when to talk, when not to talk, when to talk about new school analytics, when to talk about the human side, when to shut up. Sometimes, on TV, that's something that broadcasters can do is kind of let the game play and then just call the game. But it's been a savior for me. It keeps me involved in the game. I love pitching. I'm kind of a pitching nerd. And, when there's a good outing going on or a pitcher's really got to work in, boy, I really get excited calling those games. That's just right in my wheelhouse. And I certainly enjoy every moment of it, especially young pitchers when you see them come of age, like a Domingo Germán this year with the Yankees. It's just been a joy to watch for me. And he's pure joy on the mound, just raw emotion. And you see his confidence grow. And, it brings me back to my early days. So, I really do enjoy what I do now.
Speaking of pitching, you have a new book out called Full Count, The Education of a Pitcher by yours truly, David Cohn, and Jack Curry, a guy I know very well. Tell me about your book.
Yeah, Robin, it's really an honest and raw look at the mind of a pitcher. It's not all roses and butterflies. I think I take myself to task on some of the decisions I made, some of the mistakes I made along the way, some of the anxiety that you feel on the pitcher's mound. And I think the notion is that, major league players they're paid well, they're supremely confident, and they have great lives. And a lot of times it's anything but that. There's a lot of players that they really do have some anxiety issues and have trouble with confidence at times, and this game will beat you up. And I kind of take an inside look at some of the tough times I went through in my career, and also a lot of pitching lessons in there, some technical aspects about pitching, and I think it's good. It's a good kind of a unique, raw, and honest look at what goes on behind the scenes.
Where can people get it? Amazon and everywhere?
Yeah, davidcohnbook.com will lead you to a lot of different places you can get it, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. There's several retailers out there, but probably the easiest way is just to go to davidcohnbook.com.
There he is. David Cohn is his name. Hell of a pitcher and a great broadcaster now. Dave, thanks for joining the podcast. Best of luck with your book.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Rob. I appreciate it.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
It's simple. Baseball has the best announcers, and they're more exciting than the NBA and NFL. Take a listen.
Swung on, there it goes. Deep left field, it is high. Notice far, it is gone. He hit it to the end of the left field bleachers. Oh, wow. It is a two-run blast from the Sanchino. Oh, that Gary is scary.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.